All right, it's recording now.
All right, so my name's Ethan, and I'm here today with
Brandon,
and we are gonna be talking about anime. Last week we watched an episode called Land of the Lustrous.
Ah, yes, my favorite episode, Land of the Lustrous.
Praise be.
Yeah, but what's the name of this podcast?
Oh, name of the podcast? Weebs United.
Oh, I thought you said, Mother, this is not a phase. Oh. Please don't take away my computer.
That could also work. But it's going to probably be a really long name. And it's going to be in a language you can't understand.
Oh, you mean a really long name like a one of those modern LNs where it's like, I can't believe that my sister can be this cute while I'm also transported to a strange land and my body has been switched with somebody else.
That's correct. Sounds about right. Alright, so Land of the Lustrous. It's an interesting one. It's really pretty. Not a whole lot of plot development, though, in the beginning.
I don't know. You have to try and explain what happens before you just make generalizations like that.
True. Basically, it's a anime about people who are gems, and these gems.
Wait, do you mean gems like the 80s cartoon?
No, gems as in like diamonds and things like that. Sapphires, jades. Main character's name is Fo, made out of phosphorus.
Phospholite.
Is there a difference?
Yes.
What's the difference? For anybody out there curious.
Well, you see, phosphorus is a gas. Phospholite is a crystal.
And isn't that crystal created from phosphorus?
It's a similar compound.
I see. Alright, so, yes, they're gems, and they don't really understand why they exist. And they follow a bald guy in a robe that they call Sensei.
Well, you see, this character is Sensei. He's very interesting in that he seems to have designed fetish outfits for these characters.
Well, that's just our opinion. We don't know whether the creator did it that way, but yeah, it does appear to be that way.
This was clearly intended due to the convenient camera angles that appear quite often.
Well, you know, then you have to get into the question, because apparently these characters are genderless, so...
They're genderless, but...
So then is Sensei assuming their gender?
Yes.
Oh. What gender is he assuming? Because this could be, like, Japanese school teacher, or this could be Catholic priest, so...
Well, there is one point in the show where suddenly they're wearing Japanese schoolgirl outfits.
That's true. But, you know, there are such things called traps, so...
Well, not in this society.
Well... So, besides the gems, there are also, there's three different types. There's, bones, flesh, and spirit. And these all take up three different races that inhabit the planet.
One of them actually inhabits the moon?
Well, you might as well call the moon part of the planet. Because we never actually see them go to the moon. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Well, this race, the Lunarians... You called them, what was it you called them, spirits?
Yeah, they're the spirits.
And so, they're the spirits. Now, who are the bone?
The bones are the gems.
All right, now explain to me what the flesh is.
The flesh, we'll talk about the flesh because that's our, that's got to be our favorite episode. It has to deal with the flesh when we find out more. So, phosphorus, or foe. Gets attacked by a giant slime monster, and that slime monster ends up turning into a queen who, from there on, goes praise be as she gropes her own tits. Oh, yeah.
Wait, so all this, you're saying that she gets attacked by this slime monster, but then the slime monster is a queen?
Well, she calls herself king, so, you know, but...
Going back to how everybody's genderless.
Yes.
But... Well, but she's not. It's just not her.
And they rescue her brother, who also is a giant slug monster who is currently was kidnapped by the Lunarians, who the queen slash king try to use Fo as a bargaining chip. Again, spoiler alert. If you've not actually watched Land of the Lustrous, you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Well, that's your own fault. That's your own fault for clicking on a podcast for a show that came out 1 year ago.
Wow. It was like the end of the year, so it's not been that long.
Well, that was fall 2017.
It was fall 2017, and then it continued on until 2018, because the show actually ended in 2018. Because it was part of last year's Crunchyroll's awards for best animation of the year, but the show actually ended at like beginning of January. So,
well, before we get into semantics here, how about we talk about the most appealing feature of Land of the Lustrous?
Oh, you're talking about that gorgeous hair that is gems, but somehow still works like hair.
No, it's just totally hair.
Okay.
Just ignore the fact that, you know, it waves around in the breeze and is not solid. You know, just, it's like how they wear clothes.
For absolutely no reason.
They wear clothes, and they also wear makeup that doesn't get washed away in the water.
Oh, no.
And also, the clothes don't get wet either.
Nope.
Other than that, though, amazing attention to detail in all the animation.
Very much so. The way that they show the light reflecting through the hair, even though it's not really hair, again. But just the way that the fluidity and the way the animation moved together was probably one of my favorite parts of it.
Well, I can tell you one thing, the design choice of the outfits, you can't go wrong with those. I mean, even though they're intended to be androgynous characters, you can tell that when Studio Orange picked up this show, they had one thing in mind. Cute schoolgirls.
Oh, yeah. You gotta appeal to those fans that just watch for the fan service.
Of which, it is literally in your face.
Yep.
Like, you can pause and they'll be, for some reason, they'll be slumped down on the ground on all fours with the camera pointing
straight down.
Yeah, not at their face.
But from the backside down.
Exactly.
But beyond the obvious fan service, we went out, did a little bit of research. Brandon actually found an interesting site that I thought was hilarious. Nothing against anybody who goes by these beliefs, but I did find it hilarious that they super supported this one whenever the characters are supposed to be genderless.
Well, let's just say that without naming anybody specifically, that there are reviewers out there who find particular distaste in shows like How to Summon a Demon Lord, where women are turned into a male character's slave, essentially. And shows like Overlord, where these female characters are essentially the main character's slave.
Well, you know, they got themselves into that situation. At least one of them.
That's right, they asked for it.
Well, they tried to put him in slavery, and, you know, it's only right that, you know.
Yeah, clearly they got what was coming to them.
Definitely.
But these people who were reviewing this anime, one particular feature they liked was the genderless quality of the main characters. All of the characters, really.
And you're talking about the fact that they were genderless, but they were identified as female.
Well, essentially, in this anime, yes. They essentially chose to give all of the characters female voices.
I'm pretty sure that in the entire season, 12 episodes that we watched, there were two male characters. Two characters identified as male.
That'd be Sensei and
the king slash queen's brother.
Yeah, whose name I forget.
The sadist, the one who was not so nice, wanted to just leave Fo there to just die.
Yeah. Speaking of that character is one of my particular issues with the show. Remember, mentioned that there's no plot.
Yeah.
Really, overall.
They go rescue him, and then it's...
Yeah, he's gone. And spoilers for the manga. This never happens in the anime, but essentially, after that scene where Foe is used as a bargaining chip, those two characters, the queen slash king and her brother,
they both gone. Die off, don't they? Like, there's supposed to be a huge time jump. I'm assuming that the time jump is the events of Winter.
No.
No, is it the after the events of Winter?
No, it's not shown in the anime.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure whether or not, like those events weren't shown in the anime, or if, like, that was just a separate thing that happened.
This is shortly after the anime ends in the manga. There's a huge time skip. And then those characters are there. They just die
off-screen. The events of the time jump, is that after the 12th episode ends? Or
yes, that's correct.
I wasn't sure if it was the events after that, whereas when they air, because sometimes in anime they do say if there's been a time jump, but not always. You find out, oh wait, what? What happened with this character? Oh, it's been that long?
Yeah, there's only one time jump in the anime, really, and a lot of stuff does happen kind of off screen that you don't really see, but it's all implied.
Oh, are you talking about the cutting off limbs and replacing them with other parts?
No, mostly just Foe's character changes.
Completely, correct?
Yeah, after the winter.
Doesn't she get, like, her entire head chopped off and put replaced with somebody else's and becomes a completely different person?
Oh, no, those are more spoilers for the manga.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, people.
You remember the anime, that doesn't happen.
Well, you know, if you're going to go read the manga, you'll find out about it soon enough. Sorry about that. You won't know why. You won't know why, at least.
Well, anyway.
I mean.
Those two characters die off. They're never explained. My problem, things just sort of happen in the anime, the show.
There's no real guidance to those.
Essentially, you're just watching one character try and find their place in this world.
Oh, well, there's a lot of characters trying to find their place in the world.
And it's,
There's also, from what you were saying, that basically there's not a whole lot of character development in the manga when it comes to them, compared to the anime, where they try to put a lot of emphasis on different characters.
Yeah, definitely in the anime, they do spend more time with the side characters.
Like Cinnabar, apparently, who we thought was going to be a very important character at the beginning, ended up like, nope.
Yeah, strangely in the manga, she's not as important as she is in the anime. There's a lot more scenes in the anime with her just kind of shoehorned in.
And then we think Cinnabar and Foe were going to be a thing there.
Yeah, and this seems to be heavily implied by the anime, too, especially because in the opening credits, they seem to focus on those two characters, Foe and Cinnabar.
And maybe they're just, like, because we're two guys, you're just looking at it thinking, well, I guess those two were a thing.
And at the end of the anime, they sort of leave on a cliffhanger involving them, but...
Oh, you're talking about the, Oh, by the way, hey, Sensei, we need to talk.
Oh, yeah, basically, the main plot behind this is just the Sensei, the old bald guy who designs fetish outfits.
He's the Avatar, and he's there to, connect to the four species, the four races.
Yeah, he's mysterious. You don't really find anything about him very much, and... Foe is basically near the end will start to question what the hell he is, after 400 years, apparently.
Oh, yeah, because they never die. They're immortal beings.
As long as, that's a pretty important plot aspect, actually, is that.
Oh, well, you're talking about the fact that, they're immortal unless they can't have every scrap of themselves put back together.
That's right. But, they can literally shatter into a million pieces as long as they can get all of them back together.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that's why we find it hilarious with Fo, because she, like, shatters every episode. She, like, dies every episode, but because they're immortal, she can just be put back together. She loses both legs, both arms, a head, and she's still alive, still kicking.
And the
hey, but that torso, though, that oh-so-important scenes, you know, that great camera angle, you gotta keep that around. You can't replace that with something else.
The torso?
Yeah, that torso.
You mean how they're perfectly planar flat?
Yeah, you gotta keep that.
No, they can get rid of those and just keep the behind shot.
Wait, are they gonna take the flesh of his body, praise be, and replace it with that?
No. That's, now you're talking crazy talk.
Oh, no. Wait, that wouldn't work because eventually the torso would deteriorate and fall apart.
Yeah, that you don't want anything like that just rotting.
Well, she's Jim, so, you know, it won't matter.
The meat that she attaches to her body?
It becomes Jim.
No.
Assimilate.
Well, she's able to assimilate metal into her body.
You mean the gold platinum alloy that she can, like, stretch really far? And yeah, can encase her entire body with and, like, keep herself from shattering into a million pieces and goes from being an absolute fucking weak piece of shit into a powerhouse.
You're right. She does change from being Kirito into Goku, essentially.
Wait, are you sure you don't mean she goes from being Sakura to being All Might? Goes from being a useless piece of shit to I'm gonna destroy you with, like, one punch?
No. All Might would be more like the Sensei.
No, Sensei is like Saitama. We're gonna base him on other people.
Well, they look similar, but
it also only he's taking him, like, one hit to defeat these guys. Well, let me use my prayer powers. I will defeat you.
Let me use my mysterious, brooding sensei powers.
Oh, by the way, I'm just going to transform you into a schoolgirl.
Yeah, just imagine if Naruto, with his ability to transform himself into a woman.
You're talking about sexy jutsu, right?
Yep, sexy jutsu.
But so, Land of the Lustrous. Overall opinion of it, we'll grade it 1 out of 10. What would you give it, Brandon? 1 out of 10.
Well,
how about this? We'll do it in categories. We'll start with animation. 1 out of 10.
Animation overall, I would give it probably an 8.5 out of 10.
That's a total solid. I'd probably give it probably a 9 for animation out of it. Just based off of the sheer quality of it. I mean, if you're going to base it off of other stuff, you'd have to give it a 10. We're not going to jump into the horrible animation that was the Pain fight.
I mean, with the animation, I'd say it's absolutely beautiful. But it does have some strange qualities to it, like with most CGI anime, where sometimes when they're moving, they'll have, like, strange, like, frame rates where they'll move, but it's not a smooth motion.
Well, at least we don't have clanging noises like metal on bone.
No, the sound design is actually great.
Yeah, we don't have a Berserk 2016 going on here.
Well, speaking of sound, what would you give the sound?
Sound? Are we going to get into more of, like, the music quality for it? Or are we talking about, like,
I'm just talking overall sound direction, like the music and everything.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either. I mean, no, I'd give it a solid 7 out of 10.
For the music and sound, maybe around 7.5. There were some great orchestral tracks that sort of reminded me of Studio Ghibli, but, like, when it comes to general music, they do reuse a lot of tracks.
Yeah.
Especially whenever the Lunarians from the moon are coming in, it's the same, like, bells every time.
I mean, it's kind of like, if you're going to use basis of an example, the one I would use where they use the same stuff for every time an enemy is attacked, it's kind of like if you're going to watch Bleach every time Ichigo powers up or goes to Bankai and they play his little
I mean, yeah.
Transformation music. It's basically the same, but like without a purpose.
It sounds good the first three dozen times, and then by episode 600, with Ichigo, you're like, okay, that's enough.
So, I guess the next one we could use is it worth your time to watch it?
I would say that's it depends. When I was watching it, I was thinking, it's like, it's so good to look at, but
so boring.
There's nothing really that keeps you want to keep watching.
I mean, the action sequences were really interesting. Those kept you in there. They kept you watching it. But other than that, I mean, the show's only 12 hours, and we're going to watch it. It took us 6 hours to finish it because we just kept getting bored and getting distracted.
The show was 12 hours? And it took 6 hours to watch it? We're watching at double speed.
Yeah, but I guess the next one we can use overall plot of the anime. Like, did we enjoy the story of it? And I don't like to give a lot of animes low scores when it comes to my opinions on it because it's somebody's baby, it's somebody's creation, and they put a lot of time and work into it. And, you know, the manga, from what it sounds like, is a lot different compared to the anime. So I'd give it a solid 5 out of 10, mainly because it just seems like they had the wrong director working with it. Maybe if they had somebody different working with it, and they could have done a lot more with it and kept the animation as beautiful as it was and kept us enthralled with the plots.
For me, the story, it's a mixed bag. I like seeing characters develop, but my main problem with this is it happens essentially in one episode. You watch Foe be useless, and then all of a sudden there's one episode where
she becomes a powerhouse.
Where all of a sudden she's a powerhouse.
She goes even further beyond.
And it just happens all in one episode, and then she's completely different from then on. It's not like a slow, gradual change. And that's what annoyed me.
If you guys decide to go watch this, you guys will understand. Once you guys reach a certain part in the anime, you'll probably be like, you may be like with us. You might be completely different. You might enjoy just watching like an episode where it's just their daily stuff. I mean, there are anime out there that are really good. There's one that I watched that it's basically a slice of life, not Brandon's cup of tea. But the whole premise of it is a kid messing around in class, and it's like a 7-minute little episodes where it's just him doing stuff, trying not to get in trouble, and his person sitting next to him is basically like always trying to like yell at him because she's the one that gets in trouble instead of him. What was it called?
Oh, I know this one. It's Neon Genesis Evangelion.
No, we're not talking about the guy with daddy issues. We're not gonna get into the I have daddy issues, help me. My mom's a giant robot.
Well, you just spoiled the entire show.
I'm assuming the sheer fact that Neon Genesis has been out for so long that, you know, people should have watched that one by now. And if you haven't, you know, this is just a mess with you because you should have already seen it.
Well, to be fair, if you want to watch it, you got to fork over the $400 to some guy on eBay.
Or, we do not approve of this, but you can just go online and find it somewhere.
Yeah, you can find it on eBay for $400.
We do not endorse this, though, because that is highly illegal.
That's right. These prices that people are charging are ripoffs. Illegal.
Well, we're going to talk about rip-offs. We can use a lot of things. Like that time we went to that liquor store, and you can more expensive in the liquor store than they order it online overseas.
Well, any of you Scotch lovers out there will know, buying liquor online is expensive. But when you live in a town where you can have liquor shipped from overseas to your doorstep cheaper than you can go to your local store and buy it.
So, no problem. The recommendation for an anime, I was just talking about, it's called Tonari no Sekikun, The Master of Killing Time. It is a 21 episode series, and it's 7 minutes long. Each episode is 7 minutes long. Honestly, I mean, it's basically every episode is just the same thing, just he's doing a different thing each episode. But it's very humorous when you're watching it, and you're not going in for like a plot development, you're just watching it for the comedic value. What about you, Brandon? Is there one that people might not have seen that you would recommend?
Well, are you talking what you should watch instead of this, or?
No, just like a recommendation, like an anime that people might not have seen before that, you know. I personally like obscure animes. Like, I try to find things that not a lot of people have seen because, you know, like I said earlier, it's somebody's baby, somebody's creation. And I feel like every anime deserves at least to be watched by one person. Except for one. And I will absolutely, because Brandon thinks it's hilarious and thinks that, you know, as a joke, he should recommend it as one we should watch. He wants me to watch Boku no Pico, and that's never going to happen. Anybody out there who knows what that is will understand why I will never ever watch that, because that's just sick and disgusting.
You see, clearly you are just homophobic.
That's not it. I don't want to watch some older man sleep with little boys. No, thank you.
No, you don't. You just don't understand Japan's culture.
Not a whole lot of people do.
The Japanese do.
But they're already part of it.
Yeah. So why wouldn't they understand it?
Well, whatever. We're going to get out of that. What anime would you recommend, Brandon?
Shinseki Yori. I will always recommend Shinseki Yori.
Does it have an English title?
Well, of course. It does.
What's the English title?
It is From the New World. It has sort of a similar kind of thing as Land of Lustrous, where the main characters are...
Oh, you're talking about excellent camera angles?
No.
No.
Okay. No, there's absolutely no fan service in this show.
Oh.
But it has a similar thing where these kids, they have psychic powers, essentially, in this show. And they're just trying to find their place in the society that they don't quite understand. Because it's a very strange post-apocalyptic society. And, I mean, it's hard to talk about this one without spoiling it. Just watch it.
You'll enjoy it.
It's great.
All right, so I guess lastly we'll just rate the overall anime as a whole. We'll take all of our factors and place it in there. We'll exclude opinions on manga since we are strictly rating the anime. If you want to read the manga and have your own basis on it, or if you want us to read it and give us a more detailed review over it, go ahead and... let us know in the comments below. So,
are the comments on below or are they on the side?
No, they're going to be below. We'll be posting this out. It should be on just about any podcast listener that you listen to. I personally use CastBox, and the comment section is below. So, out of 10 overall for the show, what would you give it, Brandon, out of 10?
Out of 10, well... I actually have a list here where I've already rated it and inserted it where I believe it should be. And, you know what, how about you give your rating first so I can find this?
Alright then. Overall, as I said, the animation quality was fantastic. The plot left a lot to be desired. So, overall... I'd probably give it a solid 6.5 out of 10.
6.5 out of 10. Don't you know that anything below a 7 is unwatchable?
Well, you know, you watched Boku no Pico, and that's under a 3, so.
I rated it a 2.
That's still under 3.
Well, I just wanted to be, I didn't want anybody here to get the wrong idea that... This wasn't just a less than 3.
You thought it was a 3?
This was a solid 2.
A solid 2? Not a negative 2?
No. Well, you can't rate negatives. Those are irrational.
The entire show's irrational. We're going to get into that debate.
No, there's nothing irrational about a bunch of sentient gem people who live in the year 8000.
8000 what? Would it be 8,000 BC?
It's like 8,000 XX, you know, like Mega Man. It takes place in the year 19 XX.
Well, I was going to say, because technically this is supposed to take in a world, like, after humans are gone. So, like, would it still be, like, after AD? So, after death?
You know, well, AD actually stands for Anno Domini.
Actually, I believe you might be incorrect on that one.
No, AD is Anno Domini, which is Year of Our Lord. In Latin.
I have always called it after death. That's how I was taught in school. But
well, clearly you went to the wrong school.
I went to United States of America public schools, you know, where they don't tell you everything.
No, you should tell me your hometown, your mother's maiden name, what the name of that school was.
No, that's not going to happen.
And your credit card numbers, too.
No, God. If you want to do that, that's all you. You can go ahead and put your social security number out there as well.
Well, I could put yours out. As soon as you tell me.
That's a no-go. Alright, did you figure out how you're going to rate this, sir?
Alright, well, with no further delay, I can tell you where I placed this on my list. I placed it below, it's the next spot down directly from Kill la Kill. And it is directly above My Hero Academia.
What?
First season.
Wait, you thought it was better than My Hero Academia first season?
Yes.
I don't know whether or not you can stay on this podcast, sir.
Well, technically, I rated it 7.5, and there's, like, 10 other things on my list rated 7.5, and I think it's just in the spot that it's in, because...
How in the world do you think the first season of My Hero Academia is a 7? We'll get
seven
on
and
that
a half.
We'll get on another topic about that, but that's almost blasphemy. How the hell?
Well, here's...
My Hero Academia is, like... probably one of the better Shonen Jump animes that have come out lately. Much better than the screaming one.
Well, to put this in the proper perspective, My Hero Academia is rated one higher than Berserk the Golden Age Arc 1, as in the movie.
Okay.
So I thought it was slightly better than that. And Assassination Classroom is also rated a 7.5, so...
Alright.
That, you know, which is also a Shonen Jump anime, so... Now, from the qualifier for my score, I put Land of the Lustrous, the art. What was it, 8.5, I said?
Yep.
Yeah, here, 8.5. Sound, I gave it 7.5. Overall plot, I don't think I ever actually got a chance to say, I gave it a 5.5. Which is pretty low. Well, pretty low relative to a lot of the other shows in this category. Overall, 7.5. It all adds up.
7.5?
7.5.
Alright, well, there you have it. That's our personal opinions on it. If you don't like it, well, guess what? We really don't care. This is just our opinions that we're putting out there. I mean, if you want to talk to us about it and try to change our minds on it, you're more than welcome to. But, yeah, that'll be our first episode, Land of the Lustrous. The next episode will be on the movie that is a prequel to the events of No Game, No Life. That'll be episode 2.
Spoiled the next episode. I can't believe it.
It's not really a spoil. We didn't say anything about it yet. They just know what we're going to be talking about next week. All right. See you guys next week. I'm your host, Ethan, and my other beside me, we have...
Brandon.
All right. See you guys next week.
No, wait. But first, I want to give a word from our sponsors. Cider Boys, drink it.
No, we do not... We are not Cider Boys here. We are... Like, stouts. We are stouts and hard liquors.
No.